extraordinary. Darren, I want you to get your first response to that. President Trump saying he wants to see the results of the election on November the 3rd. They don't want the results of the election out on November 3rd, do they?
No, they don't. I think it's really important to contextualize all of these crazy things that the American people see going on. There's clearly a narrative, as you've described, pushing this notion that we are going to go into a contested election scenario if there is not a blowout victory for Biden. So either it's Biden or contested election scenario. They are engineering a very specific type of dynamic that is not unique, by the way, to Rosa Brooks, as intelligent as and original as I'm sure she is. I would believe that she invented this playbook about as much as I would believe that an Englishman invented the light bulb. She did not invent this playbook.
Boom!
Well, you do have a point, because there was a Scot that developed it further. I'll give you that much.
Okay, keep going. No fighting in the war room.
The playbook pre-exists Rosa Brooks and has been deployed by the United States government in many circumstances to undermine and even overthrow target regimes, principally in Eastern Europe. These are known as color revolutions. Instead of the overt, utterly violent regime change operations we're familiar with, such as in Iraq, where you send a whole army in to remove the government you don't like, color revolutions are a little bit more delicate in the sense that they leverage a combination of undermining the authority of the target regime through precisely these mechanisms of questioning the election outcome, number one, mass mobilization and acts of civil disobedience, number two, and those are generally escalated in a way that invites the authorities to respond and crack down, and those crackdowns are then used as a pretext to further undermine the target regime. So you have a combination of mass mobilization and a situation of essentially a contested election that feeds into the mobilizations, which can precipitate crackdowns, which then further escalate the mobilizations. This combined with a relentless lawfare effort, throwing it into the courts as it would be if there's a contested situation with ballots. Anything that is not democratic, they use the term democratic, but really they mean anything that is not democratic gives them an advantage. Remember in 2016,
Darren, we have Donald- to break. Darren, yeah, Darren, I want to just throw it back to you to carry on where we left off in the last segment and just do a quick reset for us as well there.
Great. Thank you very much. So this is on this group, the Transition Integrity Project that you've covered so well. I just think this story at Revolver News provides some additional context that builds off of the earlier story on George Kent. And it really underscores this point that this is not a new playbook. This is, in fact, a very old playbook. And as I was saying earlier, there's a regime change model, such as what they used against Iraq, which is just overt military intervention. Then there's this color revolution model that is the preferred model in the national security apparatus to undermine and overthrow governments, particularly in Eastern Europe. It's been done in Ukraine. It's probably being done now in Belarus and other countries. Instead of an Iraq-style regime change, what you have is a combination of questioning electoral integrity, mass mobilizations, massive acts of civil disobedience, combined with a coordinated effort of friendly media that converge on a narrative that escalates tensions between the protesters, demonstrators. Whenever there's a crackdown, the narrative is always up. It's an authoritarian, illegitimate, escalates the mobs being brought into effect. Now, I think where this relates to what's going on here is I think there's an interesting formulation, and that is the most famous color revolution the Orange Revolution, which, by the way, George Soros, who is intimately related to Rosa Brooks and her organization, George Soros and his group, the Open Society Foundation, is one of the premier institutions affecting these color revolutions overseas. It's the same playbook. And just by coincidence, Rosa Brooks, who's on the board of that, is now overseeing this project, which amplifies a narrative that is instrumental to this very playbook. You have the Orange
Revolution. Okay, hang on a second. We may have to keep you over for the next segment, so we're going to be jammed in here for our President Xi shout out. I just want to make sure and reset into the audience's mind, because this is all kind of new information the last couple of days. They're laying out five scenarios for the election this year. In a Biden blowout, Biden wins. They've got four other scenarios, either too close to call, ambiguous, or Trump wins in a landslide. In all four of those, they go under the headed contested election. What they intend to do is a convergence of lawfare, a very sophisticated electoral law with an army of lawyers, and what Bill McGinley's told you for months, they've been prepared with these lawsuits, number one. Number two, with a media onslaught, including, you know, the mainstream media onslaught nonstop about all the, you know, the Trump vote's all phony, right? And cutting off, and they say in here, the key thing in the interviews with Niles Gilman is that they're going to hit the switch on Fox because the Murdochs are going to, and they're going to hit the switch on Zuckerberg. And Zuckerberg came out the other day and gave you the tell. Oh, we're stopping political advertising a week beforehand. And we're not going to call. Then they say we're not going to call a winner. That's also gives them the legal right to say, oh, no. Afterwards, we can't say anything. We should just, you know, stop. So they're going to cut you off.
They're going to suppress people who claim there's a win.
In fact, on night, they said they're going to suppress voices said there is a win. Okay, and then the third is the street element, of which they say the thing is that it's going to turn into a street fight. And you see the preamble to that in Seattle and into Portland. The convergence of these forces is the contested election. That's the color revolution. That's the deep state or this apparatus has done before. And now the United States. We're not talking about Ukraine. We're not talking about, some small country, Bulgaria. We're talking about the United States of America. Okay? This is what you have to wake up for. Stop leaning on your shovel. November 3rd is just another date to check off. They're going to fight this all the way to the eve of the inauguration. That's what I'm saying. Today, on Labor Day weekend, you got 5 months of a grind to fight to make sure it's not just winning on election day. We have to do that. It is making sure that he is actually the guy claimed the winner. Keep going, Darren. We're going to hold you over for the next segment. Keep going.
The formulation here is black is the new orange. Black Lives Matter and the associated protests are the new orange revolution. Black is the new orange. One thing, additional thing I think is important to underscore here. This integrity project and this whole operation is formulated as bipartisan. In one way, you could say it's clearly not bipartisan because the group itself is Soros affiliated. It's affiliated with Biden, as National Pulse has covered, and so forth. But I think there's an additional sense, and maybe an even more important sense, in which it is bipartisan. And that is to say, I think the crucial element to understand here is this is not a right and left thing. This color revolution is being promoted by just about every faction within our security apparatus. You had a newspaper clipping of national security people for Biden. You're having people float the idea of the military having to remove Trump if he doesn't concede the election immediately. Meanwhile, Hillary, as you pointed out, said Biden should not concede under any circumstances. They're setting up things with very dangerous language. As Bill Barr said, they're playing with fire. This is not a left-right thing. This is not a Democrat thing.
Okay, hey, Darren, hang on. We're going to take a break and we'll bring you back.
Well, the only thing I'm saying is that so far we haven't seen widespread fraud. But
so far we haven't tried it.
Well, and the point is that a lot of us, there are several states that only have mail-in voting, including a Republican state.
Well, this is playing with fire. We're a very closely divided country here. And if people have to have confidence in the results of the election and the legitimacy of the government, and people trying to change the rules to this methodology, which as a matter of logic is very open to fraud and coercion, is reckless and dangerous. And the people are playing with fire.
Well,
reckless and dangerous. Bill Barr's not a guy that that throws out terms like that. You know, Bill Barr's the guy stepping into the breach and staring down the Chinese Communist Party. This is one of the top lawyers in the country on the board of Time Warner, right? He's part of the system. He's not some crazy guy walking into war room pandemic, lighting hair on fire. Nope. Corporate lawyer. Heavy. Weight. Playing, Wolf, stop the nonsense, CNN. You're playing with fire, okay? This is dangerous. But you guys are deciding to go there. It's not anybody in Trump land. No, nobody in Trump world wrote that report. Nobody in Trump world's got that. We're going to have it up. You got to read every line of it. You have to embrace this. I want to get back to Darren Beatty.
Okay. I guess just to add briefly, playing with fire, what does that mean? Look, ever since 2016, when President Trump ran against the coordinated opposition of the establishment GOP, establishment Dem, the corporate media, the military-industrial complex, every powerful institution in the country, if not the world, was actuated against him. And he won because he had the support of the people. The people don't like that, are using the same playbook against him that they use against governments overseas that they don't like. The force opposed to him is not just the left. It's not just the Democrats. The force opposed to him is deeply embedded within our national security state. And they're running the same playbook on him that they do on all these other countries. And when they say play with fire, I'll just end with this note. They've set up a situation where if Trump does not concede on Election Day, they have preemptively justified military removal. Al Gore, former presidential candidate, has floated the possibility of military removal. Joe Biden has done this as well. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton, the previous loser whom Trump defeated, has said under no circumstances will Biden concede. These people are doing everything they can to ensure that the American people will never be able to meddle in their own elections again.
Okay, hang here for 1 second, because I want to make sure that the Media Matters crowd and media, everybody's in full meltdown now with your statement. Back that up. What do you mean Al Gore? Al Gore is a former U.S. senator from a esteemed political family in Tennessee. I think his father was a senator many decades. And you said Joe Biden, who's the Democratic nominee. What do you mean that they have laid a predicate for military removal? Because this right here, the analysis, they say, in the war gaming never got to military removal. So how did you jump? Do you have your tinfoil hat on, or how do you make that leap?
No, I just have my galaxy brain, which is sufficient and has served me well so far. But look, these are recent reports. Al Gore, look it up. Al Gore has floated in an interview an idea. Again, they put it delicately. They set up the image in people's mind. They say, oh, what if, according to these war games that they've done, what if, according to these war games, Trump refuses to leave office? And Al Gore says, well, in that case, he might have to be removed by the military's Secret Service. The same thing with Biden. The point is that at a major level, at a very high level, they're floating scenarios that would involve military removal of the president, and they're setting it up such that they are justifying it if he doesn't concede. And meanwhile, Hillary is saying that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances. One last point. Okay. Rosa Brooks, whom we've been talking about before, right after the 2016 election, Rosa Brooks wrote a very interesting piece right after the election, Three Ways We Can Remove Trump Before 2020. Interesting title, isn't it? Look at that piece. She, at the end, suggests a fourth way. That fourth way, military coup. If you don't believe it, look it up. This is very much in their minds. It's very much in the works. The color revolution is in the works. Black is the new orange. The Black Lives Matter, all these protests, they're the new orange revolution. It's the same players involved running the same playbook. Be ready. It's coming now.
Is this why the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff kind of out of nowhere? Didn't he say that the military wouldn't be involved in this?
It was not out of nowhere. In fact,
okay, I just hang on. Slow down. Just trying to make sure people are contextualizing this. It seemed like for the average citizen, all of a sudden the chairman of the Joint Chiefs says, we will not play any role in removal of that. It's like, where did that come from? How'd that even get into the conversation? So tell people how that actually became. Why would he, and I think it's got to be for the first time in American history, where the chairman of the Joint Chiefs actually made a statement so stunning. It's like, what is going on here? Walk people through why it even came up, why it even came a point.
Well, I mean, it came up out of this broader context in which a multiplicity of media outlets and Al Gore and Joe Biden have been floating scenarios which would require something amounting to a military coup. But the proximate cause for that specific claim by the chairman of Joint Chiefs was a joint letter by two lieutenant colonels, I believe, in the Military Times, which wrote a letter to him suggesting that precisely in a scenario in which Trump refuses to leave, this fantastical, this fictional, absurd notion that they're wargaming into our minds that Trump is not going to leave. These two colonels wrote to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs pleading with him, should Trump not leave in that scenario, the Joint Chiefs should, in their words, do what's right and use the military force to remove him. This is a very dangerous thing. I'm glad the chairman of the Joint Chiefs stopped it, but this is very much part of the conversation. It's something that these national security people have forced into the conversation, and it's very much part of their playbook. It's very much in their minds. And if we're going to be ready, we have to contemplate this possibility. It's an existential crisis that's potentially ahead of us.
Not potentially. There's an existential crisis right here. It's laid out. This is happening. This is why we're talking about it all the time. You know, this is the signal in the noise. Go back and look at any show. Look at my career. I don't deal with the ephemeral. All that stuff's happening every day. I don't care about it. Care about deep. This is serious. Military Times is a serious paper. That's not to print that, just to make the editorial decision to print that letter is not a small thing. That is not a small thing. And for those colonels to write it, not a small thing. For General Milley, General Milley to think that he has to respond to it, not a small thing. Right? To have these people not a small. Look, I'm a veteran. My daughter's a West Point grad. We are seriously pro-military, but
One more thing on this. I don't think anyone can look at the recent hit job on Trump regarding this absurd and deeply offensive notion that he somehow doesn't care about deceased soldiers. This is part of the same operation we're talking about. They are engaging the military. They are running information operations on our military, preparing them, indeed priming them for the possibility of a military coup.
Darren, when you throw things out like that, you got to refer to it because people don't know what you're talking about. The Atlantic has an article. Of course, Drudge gives it three links on the left in red from some guy. And I know President Trump pretty well. Never heard. He's got complete reverence for our veterans. He's got complete reverence for the wounded. He's got complete reverence for the war dead. This thing is just a string of lies. You know, it's stunning. About how he mocks and ridicules losers, suckers, deadbeats. You know, why would you ever go in the military? Total lies. But it's a psyops operation. Okay?
Yeah.
Psyops operation. Okay, Darren Beatty, thank you so much. We got to jump. Really appreciate it.
Thank
Amazing
you.
On the revolver. Yep.